Our theme this month has been all about justification by grace. And our theme scripture has been in Titus chapter 3, verse 7, which says that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Amen. We are living in perilous times, right? Everything that Jesus spoke about when his disciples asked him to tell them when would these things happen, we're seeing these things being fulfilled. We've gone through 2 years of pestilence and plague with COVID, and now we're in the wars and rumors of wars. We've had some earthquakes. Last month, I think it was a volcano exploded. I don't know if you remember that. It was one of the biggest explosions in decades of a volcano. We're in perilous times. The Bible says that there would be earthquakes in diverse places. And if you can't see the signs, you need to wake up. On Tuesday night, I will be teaching some more on that. But you know, the thing that is encouraging is that if you are born of the Spirit and born of the water, amen, you've been justified, hallelujah, justified by his grace and his love. And we covered this in four parts, starting with the first one, and that was my favorite saying, is better than I deserve. Don't you feel you've been doing better than you deserve? I have been doing better than I deserve in every way. You know, I almost, as I told you, feel like John. I'm the beloved disciple. Amen. I'm the beloved disciple. I know Sister Johnny thinks she's the beloved disciple. Amen. Amen. But that's our approach. We should believe that we are the beloved disciple. Amen. And sometimes when God blesses, sometimes I don't even want to say, because I feel bad, like, Lord, why me? Your mercy and your grace is so awesome, you know, despite the things that the devil wants to throw at us. Amen. And then we talked about redemption by grace, how it was through his grace he rescued the children of Israel out of Egypt. And that was a redemption, because we talked about how the firstborn was going to die. That's what Pharaoh's judgment was, that all of the firstborn were going to be killed. We then talked about last week about by faith into grace, that the thing that strengthens our faith is love. Love, because it's when you love someone, you believe them, right? That's stronger than just knowing someone. If you know someone, you say, well, they're probably telling me the truth. But when you love them, that you would say, no, they're not ever going to lie to me. My wife is never going to lie to me. I believe that. Amen. Amen. She may tell me stuff I don't want to hear, but that's love too. That's love too, that she may tell me, oh, you need to lay off some of that sugar, or yes, the Cadbury's chocolate. Yes, she's nodding. Amen. But she's not going to lie to me, because she loves me, and I believe that. Amen. And so I said last week, we saw that the strongest the way you get your faith strengthened is when you love God, the more you love him. You may not understand everything he does, right? You may not understand, but you trust them, that you give them the benefit of the doubt when you love someone. If someone comes and says, so-and-so did something, you know, no, I don't believe that. Why? Because you love them. They wouldn't do that. You know their character. I know God loves me, so I know you can't tell me stuff about God, because I know his character. Amen. By faith into grace. Hallelujah. And this week, we're going to talk about how we get back dominion under grace. And it's through grace that we get back the dominion. Yesterday, someone called me, a friend of mine called me and was asking. Well, yesterday, a lot of people called me for theological questions. I don't know why, but that was the day to call me and ask me stuff. But he called me and he was talking about the fact that where was our position? Where were humans positioned? Were there angels that were higher than us? And I told him, well, it's my opinion, absolutely not. Absolutely not. That we were the only ones in the New Testament that the Bible says God allowed to call what? Father. He says, and unto the angels at no time has he let them call him that. So that tells us, and also just the creation story tells us what we were created to be. And now it puts in perspective how far we have fallen. Because I don't, you know, in my flesh, I don't feel like anything. But we were created to be the God of this world. Satan stole it from us through deceit. We lost that dominion. We lost that dominion. And it's really sad that people don't understand that they worship these beings that are deceiving them, where the Bible tells us in Hebrews, I believe 9, that are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them that shall be, to them, that's you and me, that shall be what? Heirs of salvation. And it doesn't make any exceptions. It says, are they not all? All. It says he maketh his ministers flames of fire. But they were all created to serve his children. I'm going to have to teach on that. I'm going to take a little dive here. Do you notice in Scripture, anytime Jesus was weak, what happened? Came and did what? You know what we should be doing? We should be looking around for our angel when we're feeling weak. I'm telling you that because that was their job. That was their job. Look in the Old Testament. I know I'm going off topic here, but in the book of Daniel, the angel came and touched him and he said, I receive strength. Did you know the angel is the one who takes your prayer to God? I'm going way off topic here, but we'll do that on a Tuesday night. But we're going to look tonight at this morning at dominion under grace. Dominion under grace. And Romans tells us, lays it out. In the book of Romans is Paul's great theological piece about the difference between the law and God's grace. And for him, it must have been extremely difficult because he was going against all that he had ever been taught. He was going against the tradition of his people. They thought he was a heretic. They thought, even the Christians, because they couldn't understand this, because it's revolutionary. It's completely different understanding to the Old Testament. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion. That's the dominion I'm talking about. That's the dominion that we have been called to, is that sin should not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's going to be our theme, to return to dominion. We should not be under the dominion of sin. Yes, we may slip and fall, but we can't live there. We got to get up. The Bible says a righteous man falleth what? Right. But you got to get up. You can't live in sin. The Bible says, Paul says that so that grace may abound. No. So we're going to explore that. And just to recap, we know that God gave us originally, as I was saying, our position was truly to be the rulers of this planet. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. That means rulership, complete rulership over the fish, over the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. That included everything. That included Satan. If he was on the earth, he was under our dominion. The Bible says that he's going to be under our feet. Isn't that what the scripture says? That's his position. He was there to minister to God's creation. And God gave us dominion. And that's where the deception comes in, because we think he's some great being. But he is a rebellious great being. We were above him. That's why when the demoniac came to Jesus, he knew that Jesus had total power over him. He had to beg him, please. The demons, if you knew the power you had and you were walking in, the demons would have to beg you, please don't send us to the abyss. If we understood the dominion that we have been given, and if we were walking worthy of our calling, we would be able to exercise that power. But first of all, we're deceived, so we don't believe it. And secondly, we are not always walking in the faith that we have been called. And because of those two things, we don't see the results that we would like. But when we have perfect faith, or when we're going towards perfect faith, we would have total dominion. It says, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Everything that was on planet earth was under Adam's dominion. As I've taught before, he had the same power as Jesus. He could make it rain or not. He could call the animals and say, sit and stay and go. And he had that power. And we can see that in Genesis. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. That was God showing he had given up something. He had given dominion to Adam. He was going to let Adam, his son, name the animals. Do you know that anything that has a name, there is a name above it? Right? If it's cancer, there is a name above it. Someone, one of the ministers yesterday I met with was telling me that he had been diagnosed with prostate cancer 2 years ago, stage four. Stage four, that means, you know, they pretty much say, okay, it's finished. And that's 2 years ago. That's 2 years ago. Because there is a name that is above every other name. You know, you're supposed to be royalty. You're royalty undercover. You're undercover royalty. They have undercover boss. Well, I want to tell you something. You're undercover royalty. Dominion of this place is coming back to us. That's what's going to happen. The Bible says we are going to reign and rule with him. He has made us joint heirs. That's what that first scripture is, that we have dominion. And because we have been made joint heirs, and that's through God's grace. Amen. And the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Why? Because he had dominion. Adam called every living creature. That was the name thereof. Whatever he decided the name was, God said, okay, you're in charge. You see, we have fallen so far from our calling. And as Christians, we are in the process of going back to what we were. We're not fully there yet because we still have to deal with this flesh. With this flesh, with its weaknesses, with its faults, with its terrible nature. That fails us many times. I remember when I had a problem about 2 years, maybe it's longer than that, 4 years ago with my back. And even when it was starting to repair, I was going up the stairs and suddenly my leg just kind of went out from me. This flesh, the Bible says the arm of flesh will fail you. You can't depend on it. We can say, oh, I'd never do that. I'd never do that. But you don't tempt fate now. Don't tempt the devil. He may say, okay, let's see. I'm going to put you in that position. Let's see what you would really do. That's what he did with Job, right? We'll see what he really does. But Job never lost his integrity, amen. Because despite everything was happening to him, he still believed God. He still believed God. And it's faith in these situations that will get us through. Going back to the lesson, though, God had given us dominion, full dominion, even over Satan. Satan, all he could do was question, hath God said? You see, all he could do was lie because he had no power. Do you know if Eve had said, look, get thee behind me, Satan, just like Jesus, did you know what he'd have to do? He'd have to go. He's got to go. I preached a message that about some years ago. He's got to go. Got to go. You can't be having a conversation with Satan. Did you know that? Don't have a conversation with Satan. There's times when you got to tell him, you got to go. I'm not dealing with you today. Okay, I'm not dealing with you. Jesus eventually said, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, because thou shalt worship the Lord and him only. He wants you to give him worship. He wants you to be deceived because he understands what's going to happen to him. He understands that once we truly understand that we have dominion. As I said, when Jesus came across the Sea of Galilee, the demons begged him, please. They knew he had total authority. Total authority. Please don't send us to the abyss. Because he could have just said with one word, you have to go. And they had no choice about it. If we could understand what God has called us to. And if we had that close relationship with God. We would not fear some of these situations, Sister Mary. modern day example of walking in that dominion? Well, I think there's tons of examples of personal testimonies of walking in that dominion. I'll give you the pastor yesterday. The doctors told him, you're at stage 4 cancer, meaning he had like months or less to live. And that was 2 years ago. And I saw him, and he told me his numbers are down to almost zero. They can't find a cancer. His count at that time was like 200. He told me the count the last time was at 5. And he's still walking around. Now, eventually, if the Lord tarry, we are going to die because it is God's plan to give us a better body. But it should be of his choosing and our choosing, not of the devil's choosing. Amen. When Moses died, it wasn't because of old age. The Bible said his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. God just said, okay, Moses, you've done your part. It's time to give it to Joshua now. You know, and he took him. But it wasn't because he was like weak or died of cancer or a stroke or anything like that. No. You see, it is God's plan for this body to die because it's the only way to put your soul in a glorified body. Right? Wouldn't you trade in a brand new one for a 70-year-old one? Mine has got quite a bit of mileage on it. I mean, if you start thinking about it, Brother Tony can probably tell you he's thought about it. This thing here has been going since you've been born, right? It's not stopped more than a couple, maybe a second or two. If it stops much longer than that, then the car won't start ever. You know, so God has got a completely glorified body. And when we get there, then we'll have the full dominion. Amen. But even now we have the deposit on the house. Paul says that there are bodies terrestrial and there are bodies celestial. The glory of one is not like the other. He says it's just like an acorn. And, you know, God has already showed us in nature, and we've talked about this, how the butterfly and a little... Do you understand how completely superior the body he's going to give us is? Not subject to pain, not subject to decay, a glorified body. You won't even have to eat, I don't think, unless you want to. Because it's going to be from the tree of life. Amen. Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard what God has got in store for them that love him. It's only been revealed through faith. So the vision I want to paint to you today is going back to that dominion. You know, we are going to have the kind of body that Adam had before he sinned. And it was actually Satan's intent to get that body. But that's why God had to let it die and go back to dust. Hallelujah. So you know the story that God had said that you can eat of any tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Mr. Browning. Amen. 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 Absolutely. For those who can't hear, she said that the words, it's not trusting in our five senses. Because as I've told you before, that's not the whole truth. When you go into court, you have to affirm that you'll tell the truth and the whole truth. And there is a difference. Because you can tell some truth, but it's not the whole truth. Your senses tell you some truth, but it's not the whole truth. Right? It looks like you're surrounded. Elisha's servant said, we're surrounded. His senses was telling him the truth, but not the whole truth. God's the prophet said, Lord, please open his eyes. He wasn't speaking his natural eyes, speaking his spiritual eyes, because you need spiritual eyes to see the whole truth. The whole truth is, yes, they were surrounded physically, but surrounding them was the whole host of the heavenlies on the whole hills. In fact, they so outnumbered them that it wasn't even funny. Open his eyes. So when you look at the natural situation, all you can see sometimes is despair, that you're surrounded, everything is going wrong. But if God would open your eyes and you would see just beyond the next hill, spiritually, what God has got blessing for you, And you've heard my testimony. You know how he delivered us from that situation. And if he had done it in 3 months, it would have been good. But it was better when he took 16 months. If he had come and healed Lazarus in 3 months, or in a week from pneumonia, nobody would have said anything. Oh, he just was lucky. Oh, he just recovered. It was coincidence, right? But after he came and took him out of the grave after 3 days, no. That's not coincidence anymore. That's the Son of God. So dominion is really, modern day dominion then, if I was to give you, I didn't really give you a good definition, is taking charge of the devil and whipping him. Is realizing who you are and talking to him and telling him, get thee behind me, Satan. Not in our own power. We can't do it in our own power. But understanding that we have power and authority, because that's what he told us to wait for. If you are filled with the Spirit and truly filled, then you have power and authority. Now, sometimes it doesn't manifest because we're not walking in faith, or we're not walking according to God's word fully. And our relationship with God is a little bit distant, right? We've let it cool down. We haven't talked to him properly. Or we talk to him, but not honestly, right? We talk to him in church, but not really honestly during the week, and we let our flesh get in the way. But if we have a close relationship, then just like Paul, right? The devil, the sons of Sceva tried to do us a miracle, and they said, well, Peter we know, and Paul we know, but who are you? Why? Because they knew they had a relationship, right? When you have relationship, you can boast. Yeah, my buddy is Bill Gates. Right, I just have to call up the phone. I just have to drop a name and things will start happening, right? Things will start happening. So when you have that relationship with God, you don't even have to call the phone. You just have to say, Jesus. God had warned them, and this is how they lost dominion. This is how you lose relationship with God, by being disobedient. And then you don't have that power. You don't have that covering. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And you know, I've done some very extensive Bible studies on that. What it comes down to is really believing another's word. Taking another's word. When you do that, and you are losing dominion. And we're going to get to that. I'm going to show you. Believing a lie loses you power. Genesis 3:11. So after they did that, God came looking for them and he said, who told you? That's the proof. They listened to somebody else. God says something and declares something in your life. Don't listen to anyone else. As I told you, the pastor yesterday told me, the doctor told him he had stage 4 cancer. Now, he could have listened to the doctor and believed it, and I believe he wouldn't be around today. When I got that note from the bank, I said, nope, this is not true. The bank wrote and told me, it's over. I actually said, this is not true. This is wrong. This is not right. Even though it's in writing, it's not true. It's not right. No, they had this show on the TV called Mythbusters. And they had this statement, I deny your reality and I substitute mine. Well, I deny the reality of Satan and I substitute God's. It's what God says is real. If God says it's not real, then it's not real. But if God says it's real, then it's real. Amen. So the question is this. God is asking us today, who told you I don't love you? Who told you your life is a mess? Who told you you don't have a blessing coming down the road? Hast thou eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? You know who wants you to eat of that? The devil. Because it is his word. It is his fruit. Whereof I commanded thou should not us eat. And the moment we do that, the moment we start believing these things, we lose dominion. We can no longer command stuff because we don't believe it. We have lost relationship because we've been disobedient. So the curse came. Verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of the which I commanded thee, saying. Now I want you to notice something interesting in this. There was something directly said to Eve that directly related to her. There was something directly said to the snake. But I want you to see something here. Adam was not directly cursed. It was the ground. It was the ground. Now, Satan's plan was for Adam to be cursed, but he wasn't. If you read it carefully, the ground is cursed, but he wasn't cursed. Why? Because God had a plan of an eventual Messiah through the seed. Amen? And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and also in thistles. Verse 18 is when we got viruses. Verse 18 is when stuff started happening. There was nothing like that. God, in Genesis 1:37, looked and said everything was good. There was no such thing as corona or whatever it is. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And the reason for that is because it was the snake's plan to take dominion. But you can't take dominion of a dead person. That's why this body must die. Because he can't take dominion of the dead flesh. Do you understand that? That was God's plan. God had to let the body die, but he had another plan. He says, a body hast thou prepared for me. He showed us what he was going to do in the person of Jesus Christ when he incarnated. So you understand that when we disobey God, that's when we lose dominion. When we listen to Satan's lies, when we start to lose faith, that's when our dominion even then starts to go. Here's the verse that really explains what happened in Genesis and how this happened. And I quoted this verse so many times, Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are. The moment they listened to it, they became his servants. That's when they lost dominion. And that's when now we came under him. Do you understand? Every time you obey that little voice, you're becoming his servant. In other words, his slave. And a slave is under control, is under dominion. So whether of, now it works both ways though. If you can become a servant of God, amen, it becomes obedience unto righteousness. Verse 20, for when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. You couldn't do it. You can't possibly be righteous. What fruit had he then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? See, when we look back on some of the things we were involved with, we were ashamed, but we didn't really have much control. We were under dominion. But once we started to leave Ur of the Chaldees, we haven't gotten to Canaan yet, but God says, I declare you perfect. Because he calls those things that are not. That is dominion under grace. Unmerited favor. God declaring us perfect. Welcoming us back into sonship. Now, when did the prodigal son become a son again? The moment he did the father say, okay, you're back, but I'm gonna wait a couple of years, see what you're gonna do. In 2 years' time, if everything is perfect, I might break out the ring and I might go get the robe cleaned. I might do that. But we're gonna have to check and see how long it. No. Even though it's possible that he was not perfect, the father loved him so much, he gave him grace. And returned him. The moment he put the ring on him, you know that son could command the servants now? The moment he put that robe around him, that son could command everything that the father had. Could tell the servants what to do again. Even though he just came back. That was grace. That's how you get back dominion, is through God's grace. Not because we deserve it. Not because we can earn it. But because he repented and said, Father, I've sinned. The father gave him grace. So because of that, the result of the true loss of dominion, the end result of sin is what? Death. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one much more, they which receive abundance of, what does it say? Grace. Right? If by one man's sin death reigned, what do we, but by one man's obedience we get what? No, not just grace. Abundance. Abundance of grace. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? I need an abundance. I need an abundance of God's mercy and his grace. He is not looking at how good I have been. And I'm not doing it to earn his goodness, so to speak. As I said, the very moment the son came back, called for the ring and the robe. He reinstituted him that instant as a son. He didn't put him on probation. And the instant he came back, the father, in other words, declared his sonship. He had full authority again to go tell the servants what to do. That's how we get dominion, when we totally come back as a son. See, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift, it's a gift, of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. See, we're in the waiting phase right now. Romans 8 tells us that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain, waiting to wit the redemption of the bodies. When we get back that body, that's what we're waiting for. Amen. And that's only through God's grace. And we went through last week how the two things are tied together. Grace then engenders faith that gives more grace when we respond. Amen. And then when we get to the stage of love, the faith is strengthened. Isn't that awesome? See, when we lost dominion, though, we became a prisoner of our desires and our feelings. Because a lot of times we just want to react in our feelings, don't you? I do. Ooh, I hate getting angry because I can feel a loss of control. Can't you feel when you're really mad? Ooh, you just start to shake. You're so mad. Am I the only one experienced that? You know what that is showing? It's showing that the dominion of the flesh. You know, when you get that mad, and I hate, and it's scary. It's scary when you get that mad. You know, because you may do crazy things then. It shows you're not under control. You know, and that's the flesh. And so God came to give us back dominion. Now, here's the truth. This flesh will never be under dominion, not completely. But God already discounted that. He knew that in Genesis, I believe Genesis, I didn't put it in here, but let me find it. Genesis, I think, 9:1, and I've read this to you before, when Noah came out of the ark and he made an offering to God, God said, the Bible said he smelt a what? A sweet savor. And he said, I will no more curse the ground. And let me find this in Genesis 8:21. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma. I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intent. And in brackets in the Amplified Version, it says, the strong inclination, the desire of man's heart is wicked. That's what we're inclined to. We're all about me, I, and myself, truly. Really, it's whatever pleases me. The desire of man's heart is wicked from his youth. God already knows that left to our own self, we're just going to go wild and completely nuts. God already knows that. And that's why he's given us grace. And if we will just respond a little bit, he knows. And it's a very fine line, but God looks at the intent. What did you intend to do? Did you intend to do good? Or did you plan this murder? Did you track them down, go into the hardware store, buy the gun, read upon where their locations are, plot and wait? No, that's premeditation. Now, when you do that, you're in danger because you're committing a presumptuous sin. You're presuming on God's mercy, even when you deliberately planned it. But now, you know, in some countries, they have what's called a crime of passion. In France, if you could kill somebody, and if you can prove it was a crime of passion, they will sometimes even let you go. They will, because they understand that this body sometimes is not controlled. There's several cases where a man came home and found his wife and another man and just killed him, shot him. And there he is, committed murder on trial. But because it was a crime of passion, they reduced it to, you know, a very minimal sentence. See, God has done that for us. Because we commit in crimes of passion all the time. That's it. We do. Before we think about it, we're looking at someone that says, why they got that? They don't deserve that. You know, it's so easy to become jealous and covetous and all the other things. And before you know it, we've judged somebody and some thoughts have come into our head. For by one man's offense, death reigned. By one. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. How? Through Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we have become prisoners before Christ of the flesh. That's what Paul says. He says, for I was alive. I didn't have to worry about stuff before the law. I was sinning, but there was no law that said it was wrong. But once the law came, the definition of sin revived, and under the law, I died. I died. As I've told you before, if I was living in ancient times, I can think of things where I'd have been stoned to death. I don't know about you. And the commandment, which he's talking about the law, which was ordained to life, I found to be under death. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. We lost dominion of this body. That's why, as I said, sometimes when you get really angry, start to shake. Isn't it? Some of us. For I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. As I told you, I surprised myself. I hadn't gotten angry for a long time. And someone came in here and did some stuff and I got angry. I scared myself. For to will, and this is what Paul is saying, to will, I want to be perfect. I want to serve God perfectly. I want to do the right thing. For to will is present with me. But how in this flesh to be always perfect? That which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I don't do sometimes. But the evil which I don't want to do, that I do. And so God is looking at the intent of the heart. That's what he's looking at. He's looking at the intent of our heart. What was our intent? Were we trying to do good, but we messed up? You know, did we go into that bar because we were thirsty for water? And someone said, hey, Joe, or hey, Mike, sit down here a minute. Sit down here a minute. Come on, you can sit a minute with us. Come on, we haven't seen you for a long time. Come on, just one. Come on, you gotta celebrate with us. Just take one. And that's how it starts, right? See, you didn't intend for the to end that way. You didn't get up in the morning and say, I'm going to go to some bar and have a good time. No, that wasn't in the intent. For the good that I would, I don't do, but the evil which I would not, sometimes I end up doing. And this is where God's grace, because he's looking at you and saying, are you repentant? Is this what you plan to do? And the truth is, we could not free ourselves. We could not free. This is what Romans 7, knowing not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. Because this was addressed to people who knew the law. The law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. So that's the key. This flesh has got to die. Because as long as you're living according to the flesh, you're going to die. Paul says it this way, Romans 7, 12, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You know, when we've done something, we know it's wrong. Don't you feel guilty? If you haven't seared your conscience, that is. And you feel so bad. I wish I hadn't said that to her. I wish I hadn't done that. Right? And you just say, why did I do that? You ever talk to yourself? Why did I do that? That was great. Why did I do that? I didn't mean to do that. This was Paul having a conversation. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? How am I going to get out of this? You know, in the prophecy of the names, in Genesis, I think, 5, where it gives the genealogy, and it comes down to Methuselah. And Methuselah, his name means, it's broken up into Methuselah, and his name means his death shall bring. You see, this death is what's going to bring. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's why we have to die daily. That's why we have to, when we start out our walk, we go down in the tank, identify with his death. But God knew that there was nothing we could do to make this body perfect. In fact, there was nothing he could do to make this body perfect. That's why it has to die. In Genesis, I think 3 or 4, he says, we're going to have to kick him out the garden, lest he put forth his hand and eat of the tree of the fruit of life and live forever. Then we would be permanently in this miserable condition. Once I truly understand that, some years ago, and it really hit me what that meant, I understood you do not have to fear death. To absence with the body is to be with Christ. If you really believe what we teach, you will not fear death. Yes, we will fear leaving our loved ones. No one wants to leave our friends and the sorrow our absence would cause. But as I told you the story about Lazarus when Jesus wept, in this book I was reading, he wasn't weeping because of Lazarus being dead. He was weeping because he was going to have to bring him back. Anyone who's had a true glimpse of heaven doesn't want to come back. My dad told a testimony, you probably heard him many times when he first got saved. He had a vision of heaven and he was singing and he was in there and he was so happy. And then suddenly the vision ended and he realized it was just a vision. And he was so disappointed. And so the story goes, the reason why Jesus wept was not because of Lazarus' death, but was because he was going to bring him back. Why was Lazarus living with his sisters? The story goes is because his family had died. And he was with his family. So bringing him back was going to be, you know, sorrowful in one or two ways. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? It is because of God's grace. This is the last week we're talking about this, but I want to emphasize the God's grace. It's not because of anything that we can do. And it's his death that shall bring the prophecy. The next name after Methuselah is Lamech, which is where we get lamentations, despair, sorrow. His death shall bring the despairing. And the last name is Noah. And Noah means comfort. Whatever you're going through right now, his death is going to eventually bring you comfort. His death is going to free us from the despair of this life, of the sorrows. His death. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. We can't do enough good things. You know, people ask, why do bad things happen to good people? That's right. That's the truth. Not by God's standard. There is no good people. The best of us is filthy rags. Because all it is the outside. What you see, I pretty up to do. But you don't know what's going on. Right? You don't know what's going on. Right? Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The Bible tells us the law was given to make sin crystallize. Bring it into sharp focus. Show how sinful we are by writing it down. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But here comes that grace again. Verse 24. But being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Because the law worketh wrath. For there where law no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. Amen. Isn't God awesome? Isn't mercy wonderful? God made a sovereign choice. When he found Adam and Eve hiding, he could have just said, I'm done. But what did he do? He saw their condition. And the Bible said he made coats of skin to do what? Cover them. Cover them. The fig leaves covered the outside, but it was the blood that needed to cover the heart. Amen. You see, it's God's grace that is bringing us back into dominion. Amen. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. That means you're not. That's not your mind every day. If we could every day just be thinking, Lord, you give me thoughts about you today, we would be so powerful, so successful, so prayed up. Amen. Because walking after the flesh is explained. It's what your mind. It says the people who are walking after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So walking in the Spirit is simply minding, thinking about things in the Spirit. That is as simple as it gets. And yet, most of us can't do it. I can't do it all the time either. You know, but I know that when I'm strong, it's when I've been meditating. I was listening to some music last night, late. I put on some music while I was writing the Bible study, and I was thinking, some of them I hadn't played for years. And I said, when did I last play these? And then I remembered, it was when I used to drive for 4 hours between Michigan and here. And I remember I came across one song, and I remember I put that one song on repeat for about 4 hours. And all I was doing the whole 4 hours when I was driving was praying and praising God for the whole 4 hours. I had a walking in the driving in the Spirit moment. And I think those times of doing that is what prepared me, because I did that for about 4 years before I was ordained pastor. I think that 4 years of taking the 4 hour drive and doing nothing but worship and praising God. You see, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of this sinful flesh, and because of sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That means he took it. We've done this so many times when he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all. He drew the judgment for us. It's like someone shooting at us and he jumped in and took the bullet for us. Amen. And because of that and his grace, we have the promise of eternal life. Hallelujah. We have the promise of everlasting life. And most of all, while we are here, we can have the dominion returned. We can have the Father say, put the ring on the robe on him. On you ladies, put on the crown. Make her back my princess. If we understood God's grace, if we were wanting that deep relationship, we would have the dominion even now, because Jesus was able to say to the winds and the waves, be still. And they said, what manner of man is this? And he said, ye of little faith. Because the relationship is what defines your dominion. And it's given to us because God's grace. Amen. Let's go there. Romans 3:24. Yet now God in his gracious kindness declares us, this is a modern translation, not guilty. He has done this through Christ Jesus, who has freed us by taking away our sins. For God sent Jesus to take the punishment for our sins and to satisfy God's anger against us. We are made right with God when we believe that Jesus shed his blood, sacrificing his life for us. That's the New Living Translation version of Romans 3:24. We are made right with God when we believe that. It's as easy as that. Amen. God's grace. Hallelujah. You know that song that has lasted over 300 years. You know the song. The story was, he was a former slave captain. And somehow he realized what God saved him, and he became a preacher. And he wrote that song, Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found, right? That he saved a wretch like me. Because he could look back on his life and see where he had come from. Now, I've shown you this before, and you guys can stand. And it's one of my favorite ways of showing it, the grace equation. Right? For Romans 5:13. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. No law, sin not imputed. But still man died. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, or of the similitude. Right? So, no law, sin not imputed. From Adam, men still died. Why? Because sin is a genetic defect. Amen? It's a genetic defect. But then you add Romans 10, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Remember now, the first one said, no law, sin not imputed, not written down. Even though men were still sinning, God was not accounting for it. So, no law, sin not imputed. From Adam, men still died, but Christ ends the law for believers. The question is, are you a believer today? Can you answer that question? Are you a believer today? I want you to answer that question. I want you to open your mouth and tell me, are you a believer? Are you a believer? Okay. Well, then Christ is the end of the law. Because Corinthians 15:20, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made. All of those in Christ now, you got to be in Christ, shall be made alive. Sin kills, but Christ makes alive. That's God's grace equation. In Christ, sin is not imputed and all made alive. Isn't that awesome? Amen. My truly last scripture. I said last scripture. Now, last week I told you that your faith gets stronger through love. Your grace gets stronger in your weakness. Think about that. Faith gets stronger by your love. Grace gets stronger when you give him your weakness. Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I know it seems completely illogical to glory and take pleasure in weaknesses, but that's what God is saying. Listen, this gives me an opportunity to do a Lazarus job with you, because it looks hopeless. It's a dead situation. It's not like he's just got a cold. He's dead. Not only is he dead, it's not like he's out anymore. They wrapped him and buried him and put him in a tomb. When Paul really got this, he said, you know, I'm stopped praying for this now. I understand God. Therefore, I take pleasure. Ooh, that's so hard. Now, that is a step in infirmities, in weaknesses, in sicknesses, in reproaches, in people bad-mouthing me, in people coming against me. I'm going to take pleasure in that. In necessities, Paul had wants. He had times when he needed stuff, in finances, in persecutions, in distresses. Not for Christ's sake, for the gospel's sake. And here's it, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Now that doesn't make sense in human reasoning. It doesn't make sense in human reasoning, but it gives an opportunity for God to jump into the fire with you. Nebuchadnezzar says, throw him in the fire. Heat it up 7 more times. These impudent Hebrews, I'm going to show them what for. Devil wants to burn you up. He's going to throw you in the fire. But if you are faithful, if you will trust God and say, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I shall see him for myself. I know I'm mixing up all the stories here. Nebuchadnezzar looks and said, I thought we threw 3 in the fire. I thought we threw 3 in the fire. How come I see 4? And that 4th one looks like Son of God. There's a song that says, he walks with me and he talks with me and tells me I am his own and the joy we share. Hallelujah. When we what? How does it go? When we tarry there. I'm telling you, you are not alone. You're going to go to the cross, and it may seem like you're alone, and you may cry out on the cross, Lord, why hast thou forsaken me? But Paul understood, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution. Did he leave anything out? I'm not sure he left anything out. Infirmities can be sicknesses, can be weaknesses. In reproaches is people slandering you, calling you all kinds of stuff. In necessities is finances, food, clothing. In persecutions, they're actually coming against you. In distresses, when you're in anxiety. I don't think he left anything out. Did he leave something out? I don't think so. For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Not in our flesh, but through the grace of God. Closing this Bible study and this month's on justification by grace. I hope you've got something out of it. I hope you will be encouraged. I hope you'll take the next step and hang on to that rope. Tie a knot in it and hold on to God's love. And give him all of your pain. And just worship. David's child died. He goes to the temple and worships. Hezekiah gets a letter saying, you better surrender because you're surrounded. He takes the letter to the temple and worships, gives it to God. Jehoshaphat is facing an army that's three or four times larger than him. He sends the choir out front and the singers, and they worship. They worship. That is taking back dominion through God's grace. It's not like the world could work it out. That makes no sense. That's why God said he can give you a peace that passes human understanding. See, so when I get big financial bills now, I go, okay, all right. I don't even worry about it anymore, you know. Okay, all right. So they, you know, my wife had some surgery. I hope you don't mind. She had just tiny little surgery. Tiny little surgery, like maybe 2 hours. And they sent her a bill yesterday saying, $30,000. $30,000. I said, what? But you know what? I'm not even the slightest bit worried. Not even, because when I am weak, in persecutions, in distresses, then I am strong. It's already taken care of. But you know what? Because I am the son of a king. I'm expecting some angels to come and minister to me. Don't know about you, but I'm going to stand on that scripture that said, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister? That means to take care of. That's why in Psalms 91 it says, "If you, they will bear thee up lest thou dash thy foot against the stone." You're going through some things? Look out for your ministering angel. He's right there. Invite him in. Say, you can come in now. You can give me some good word. I need a touch today. I need some encouragement. I'm telling you, we can take back dominion through grace. Hallelujah. I'm closing. I really am closing. I didn't mean to have you stand so much. Let's bow our hearts. Father, we thank you today for your great word. Lord, help us, hallelujah, to build our faith upon it, to come before your throne. Hallelujah. Lord God, looking only at you, who is the author and finisher of our faith, that this grace, hallelujah, the abundance of grace, may be poured out without measure into our lives. Lord, that even when we are weak, Lord, through your power that rests upon us, we can be strong. We can defy the forces of the enemy who would like us to be down. Today we lift up our hands and we worship you. We give you praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We submit all our will to you. And we thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for victory in Jesus' name. Let's give God a praise offering this morning.